Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12, this morning. We're going to read two verses this morning in Romans, chapter 12. That's verse 1 and 2. I'll read aloud as you read along silently in Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity we have and the freedoms we have and the health we have to be able to sit here in this room this morning and hear the Word of God, and even those that are on the internet this morning that are listening. God, please bless us. Help us this morning. Help us to hear what you have for us. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And help us be filled with the Holy Spirit so we'll hear what you have for us. And then, Father, one last thing. If there's somebody in this room or on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I hope that you heard Brother James say that due to short announcements, the service will be 15 minutes shorter today. And the good news is I got a sermon long enough to fill that 15 minutes up, so don't worry about it. We won't get out too early. We don't want to get ahead of anybody to hometown buffet. I felt something on that right there. No, all right, just stay with me a moment. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is very familiar to Christians. I was quoting it, looking at you while you were reading it. Many of you were quoting the verse because this is one of those cornerstone, capstone verses in the Bible. It calls for us to present ourselves to God a living sacrifice. That's a full commitment. Please understand, he's not talking about salvation. You don't make a commitment for salvation. God made that commitment for you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. Christ's death on the cross is our salvation, not your commitment to God. God has committed to you this. Now, you must accept Christ to have salvation. In this verse, the word acceptable is used, these two verses, the word acceptable is used twice. In verse 1, it talks about what's acceptable to God. In verse 2, he talks about what's acceptable to you. And in verse 2, would you look at it, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says this, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word acceptable here is the same as in verse 1, and it means to come to accept something. Very simple, doesn't require Greek for definition. But here's what he is saying. Now listen, he's saying this. If you'll do what verse 1 and 2 says, you'll come to know for yourself, prove for yourself that you can accept what God allows in your life. What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? God's will is what he allows to take place in our lives. Did you know that if I'll be a yielded Christian, a yielded person, I'll come to accept what God allows in my life? Do you find that possible, though? I mean, when you think about it, aren't there some things that God has allowed in your life you still haven't accepted yet? Now look at me. The difference is whether or not you go through your Christian life and know what it means to know that there's a God in heaven and that everything is going to be okay, or you're going to go through your Christian life bitter and resentful toward God. So the difference of this business of what's acceptable to you, coming to accept what God allows, the difference is the quality of your Christian life. See, look here, in the 37 years of ministry, dear people, I've watched Christians go through some of the most amazing things in their life. Amazing. Young people, hey, pay attention, don't talk during church. I've seen Christians go through some amazing things in their life. Incredible. And not everyone handles it the same way. By the way, I've seen it repeated. What one person goes through, I've seen it repeated in other people's lives. Only a few times have I ever seen somebody go through something I've never observed before in a person's life. By the way, even though I've never seen it, I can assure you, whatever you go through in life, someone else has walked through that valley. Someone else has gone on that journey. Someone else has gone down that path. It's dangerous. Now look at me. It is very dangerous for a Christian to get I'm the only one thinking in their life. But no one else has been through what I've been through in my life. That's not true. Somebody has, guaranteed. Now, that doesn't make it any better, and it doesn't make it any easier. But it does mean this. Listen, what I've noticed is some people go through whatever it is that God allows in their life. They go through it, and they come out of it as exceptional Christians. It actually improves them as a child of God and as a person. Look here, and they have a strength that comes out of that, and a confidence and a faith that's amazing. That's why I mentioned the hymns, the stories behind these hymns. I know the popular thing today is to get the 7-11 music in our churches, you know, the repetition choruses, seven same words 11 times over and over. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. I know that, but there's nothing to those things. Oh, but It Is Well With My Soul by Spafford, after what he went through in his life. You know, people, these hymns, they have a song, they have a story behind the song, but listen to me. But Spafford wrote the words, "It Is Well With My Soul," after he lost everything in his life. His children had died in a car, in a boat accident, sunk at the bottom of the ocean. And he wrote, "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." I've seen Christians go through things and come out of it with amazing faith and confidence, strength. I've seen other Christians go through things and they come out of it bitter, angry, resentful, holding out and holding back on God. You say, well, see, the problem is God. No, the problem is not God. The problem is that you may prove. Prove means put to the test to find out for yourself, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that acceptable thing is our subject this morning, how to accept what God allows in your life. Now, listen very carefully. Please understand, not everything that happens to us, not everything that happens to us in our life comes from God. And we'll come back to prove you that in a moment. But the truth of the matter is, much of what happens to people in life is caused by their life, by what they do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 17 says this, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." In other words, if you do wrong, there's another reason that's come to your life. We'll come back to that subject and how to correct that in a moment. But now, understand this. But I want to talk to you just in that area of the will of God, what God allows, and how do you come to accept it. Well, first of all, there's the word security I want you to think about. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "I beseech you therefore," what's the next word, church? What's the next word, church? Brethren. That means I'm a child of God. You know, it's interesting to note that you put up with a lot from some people, but family seem to have a little extra on the inside track with you. You know what I'm talking about? You'll put up with more from family than you will just about anybody else, because they're family. Look at it, because there's a relationship of tie of blood that's there. When he tells us here in Romans 12, 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," he's reminding us of the security of the fact that you, if you are a child of God, You need to come to accept this thing about what God has allowed in your life and accept it because he is your heavenly father. Is he a good father to you? Is God a good heavenly father to you today? Is he? Thank you. Three of you believe that. The rest of you are still mulling it over in your mind. You're still thinking, well, if he was such a good heavenly father, why would I have this trouble in my life? Oh, I don't know. When your parents raised you, did they always do everything you understood? Did it always make sense to you at the time? Hey, did your parents ever tell you, you won't understand this now, you will later? Did they? Remember what you thought as a kid? They just lied to me. There's no way this is going to make sense to me later on. But it did, didn't it? Huh? Didn't it? Because when you had good, look at me, when you had a good family tie, there was a security of understanding that when things come into your life, there's purpose and reason behind it. Because see, for family, there's just something a little extra. Last week was a classic example of that. And I believe it was in the flooding that was taking place in the South. They found a child floating on the body of her mother. And that mother literally drowned in a desire to save that child's life. She literally gave her life to protect that child from drowning. And literally, many years ago, there was a mother in a shallow lake, as it were, and they capsized in the boat, and the mother held that child above her head to keep her out of the water and literally drowned. When they buried her, they had to break her arms to bury her in the coffin because she held that baby up there to keep that child alive because it was family. How do you accept what God allows in your life? Question, is he your heavenly Father? Now, some of you need to settle your issues with your dad. That's why you got a problem with the heavenly father thing, because you got a problem with your earthly father. And because of that, you don't understand this thing about what a good heavenly father is really like in your life. You know my story, my testimony. My dad left us as a boy when he was a preacher and ran off with one of the women in the church. And I grew up with issues. I grew up with father issues in my life. I'm going to tell you something this morning, dear people. Look at me. The truth of the matter is I may have had issues with my earthly father. I have none with my heavenly father. Stop likening the earthly dad to your heavenly father if there's a bad situation there. And some of you get some little forgiveness in your heart, you'll settle that. I spoke to my dad the other day. My stepmother's very close to heaven. We're expecting a call any time that she has passed. And he calls me and I call him. Everything's okay with us. We're good. But I'll tell you something else, dear people. Look at me. Everything's all right between me and my heavenly father. Everything's good. There's a security in knowing that God is on the throne and he knows what he's doing. Hey, there's a security in knowing that the Heavenly Father is the Heavenly Father of my life and I'm his child. Are you this morning? Are you a child of God? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Then guess what? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can accept what God allows if there's a security of knowing you're his child. And God only allows what's best. Haven't you ever done it as a parent? Done something for your children that they didn't understand and your heart was broken because you thought, I just wish they understood how this is better for them than they understand now. How much our Heavenly Father must sit upon the throne of heaven and look down at his children who say, I just don't understand God. I don't understand why God would... And how his heart must break to look at us and say, don't they understand? I only do what's best for my children. I only do what's right. See, but Pastor Johnson, I can't understand that. Well, I understand that, but I understand my father. And when he gets right down to it, there's a security in knowing I'm his child. You know how you accept what God allows. Number two is this, you surrender. You present your body a living sacrifice. Now, we know what's asked and we know why he's asking this because it says in the verse, which is your reasonable service? Hey, friend, he's not asking for anything that's not reasonable. He's not asking you to give him something he didn't pay for. He's not asking you to give him something that isn't his right to ask for, that you give him everything. You trusted your never-dying soul to your father. Now trust your life to him. Go ahead, yield it to him completely. But there's something in the surrender here. There's something in the yieldedness here that helps us to accept what God allows. And let me say this. I'm not talking today about resigning. Okay, fine, I'll just give up then. That's just the way it's supposed to be. I'll just give up. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about resenting it either. All right, fine. If that's the way God's going to treat me, then all right, fine. He's God and I'll just take it. No, that's not it either. Have you ever disciplined your children and seen them resent you for it? By the way, a good parent stays on it till the resentment is gone. You don't let door slamming, fit throwing children take over your household. And he's not talking about retreating either. All right, if I have to accept this, then I quit. I'm just going to give up on God. Christian, look at me. The yielded, surrendered he's asking for here is this. I trust you, Lord. You're my heavenly Father, and I trust you. And I yield myself to you. I don't understand it, but I yield myself to you. Several years ago when our daughter Beth and her husband Mark, of course Mark's on our staff here, when they found out that their daughter Claire was going to die, she was carrying a baby in the womb, and we had gotten down and gotten the news from the doctors, and the family stayed there in the Bay Area, and I came home here to preach to let you know what was going on with our family and kind of prepare our church for this and that sort of thing. I still remember that stretch on 505. I didn't understand why God would let that happen to our family. I'd like to say I was such a great man of faith that I just said, okay, fine, Lord, whatever you wanted. But that's not the case. I didn't get mad at God. But it overwhelmed me so much, I had to pull off the highway there on the 505. Have you ever been on that stretch between 5 and 80? There's just a long, flat road. I pulled over on the side of the road, and the grief overwhelmed me so bad. And I said, I just don't get it. I said, I love you. I work for you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'm not mad at you. I just don't get it. Now look at me. And in a moment, I paused and I said, but Father, if this is what you want, then I yield. Look here. Pulling off the freeway in grief, pulled back on the freeway, was it joy and happiness? No. Still had tears. Still didn't understand it all. But Christian, look at me. The truth of the matter is, I found it was acceptable to me then. You're still too much of the boss of your life, aren't you? Huh? You're still trying to run the show. You're still trying to get God to do it the way you want him to do it. No, you surrender. That's why this is way up here in verse 1, and finding it's acceptable to the will of God is down in verse number 2. Because if you can't get past the, I just yield, Lord. I just yield. I don't get it, but I yield. I don't understand, but I surrender to this thing. And not mad, not resentful, not resigning, not retreating, just an attitude of my God knows what's best. What we must remember is that the surrender comes before accepting. Then number 3, to accept what God allows, you have to have a searching in your life. Verse number 1, that it says that you may, well, look at the verse now carefully. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Next word is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's no way we can find out what God's allowing in my life if it's God until I settle this issue. Is it sin? You heard me say this before over the years. If you think you're Jonah, excuse me, if you think you're Job when you're Jonah, you're in trouble. I just think it's the Lord testing me in my life. You better find out and make sure it is, that it is a test from God, that it is something he is allowing. Like we read, quoted a moment on 1 Peter 3:17, that you're suffering for well-doing than for evil-doing, for something there. That's why you want to search this thing out. You want to make sure. Listen, Christian, if I have something in my life that's not right, this is not God allowing something other than chastening, or God's correcting me, and if I keep acting like, well, there's nothing wrong, I'm fine, everything's okay, I've asked him and I can't find anything there, well then, Christian, have you sought him about it? Have you? And by the way, he'll let you know. Holy means set apart for God, set apart in a consecration unto the Lord. Is my life really set apart for God? You'll find some things out in those moments, by the way. If there's nothing there and you've asked God to search you and to know your heart and to try you and to know your thoughts, and if there's nothing there, then it is something God's allowing. But you want to make sure you search that out first. Well, I know this. Everybody's got things. I don't care about everybody. I don't know about everybody. I just got to know about Mike Johnson. That's all I got to know. Have you ever done that? They comparing themselves by themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, I got some things in my life, but I tell you what, I know something about somebody else. That's much. I'm not a murderer. I'm not out there hurting people. So what's the deal? No, that's not the deal. The deal isn't what others do. The deal is what do you do? And you need to find that out with him. That's why you need to search that out. Because you see, not everything that comes to our life was filtered through the hands of a holy, righteous God. Some of that came to our life because it was filtered through the filthy hands of a sinner who needs to get right with the Lord. You'll find out right away, by the way, because he'll let you know. Then number two, you get it right, and guess what happens? That which you thought God was allowing, you created. But then you can still get it right. Hey, you can still get that fixed. You come to accept what God allows. Number four, lastly, because of seeing. That is, if it is God's will, that I must see it as what God has chosen for me, then I'll come to accept it as his will and what's best for me and what's best for others. Well, I can't see it, Pastor Johnson. Then you need to back up to the start of this thing. Are you his child? Huh? Have you really surrendered yourself to him completely? It's a living sacrifice. You know, that requires a death. That requires a bit of trouble to be a sacrifice. See, if we take the steps correctly, then we come down to this last thing of accepting what God allows in my life by looking at it and seeing, you know, this really is God's will. Why would it be God's will to go to a cemetery? Why would it be God's will to go to a hospital bed? Why would it be God's will for cancer? Why would it be God's will to have health troubles? Why would it be God's will to have trouble in our homes, our families, our job situation? Why would it be God's will to struggle? Because sometimes that's the will of God. I can't answer the why. I can simply tell you this. It's a part of what God allows in just about every Christian's life. Do you know anybody gets to this thing unscathed? Do you know anybody who goes through life without any kind of problems whatsoever? Do you? Do you ever know anybody who's been through life that didn't have a few storms in it? A couple of battles? Hey, what we used to call knockdown dragouts. Knock them down, drag them out of the house. My mother, she didn't write a book on child rearing, and probably no one would have read it, but she's a little squirt Texan woman, about that tall. My brother and sister and I, older sister, older brother, myself, we would argue and fuss with each other because it was their fault, not mine. I was just a peacekeeper and trying to keep it all balanced out, trying to help them, pray for them. I'm always in the corner reading my Bible and, you know, trying to lead the family to the path of righteousness. Yeah. So we got to fussing and fighting with each other one day, and my mother, this is a great lesson for child rearing. Don't ever do this. She goes, come in here. We all go in three and go in the front room. My sister's 7 years older than me, brother 2 years older than me the youngest. She pushes all the furniture in the living room back against the wall. She goes, okay, here's how it's going to work. Michael, you're going to fight your brother. And you and Buddy are going to fight, and whoever wins that fight is going to fight your sister. And whoever wins that fight is going to fight me. Now, like I said, that's not good child rearing techniques. Okay, let's just don't do that. Don't go home and do that. So my brother and I square off, and I'm looking at him. I'm looking at my sister. She had fingernails that long. She didn't punch nobody. She ripped you to shreds like you got in a fight with a bobcat. I looked at my sister, and I thought, Then I looked at my mother. I've seen my mother, little 2x4 squirt Texan mama like that, take my 6-foot-plus stepfather, drunk stepdad, knock him off his feet. I said, I thought, I'm going down the first round, bro. This is going to be really, this is going to be the fest. He hit me once. I went down, I quit. He goes, sissy. I go, stupid. I went over, laid on the couch, sucked on my sugar daddy candy bar, and watched my sister rip him to shreds. See, who fought your mom? Neither one of them. There was nothing left when they were finished. That's what we used to call knockdown dragouts. Everybody goes through knockdown dragouts, right? Don't we? Christian, can I ask you a question? What's the shocking part of, well, I just don't see it? Well, of course you don't. I don't see it all. I don't see it in moments of my life. I don't go, oh, that, I see exactly. Well, this is what God allows. You know, those idiot people come up to you and say, well, it's just the will of God. Don't do that. You slam your thumb in the door and they go, well, and all things give thanks. Well, come over here, let me slam your head in the door and you can give thanks too. How you like that one, pal? It's always interesting how everybody can see God's will for me, but I can't always see it. But I don't have to see it. You know why? Because he sees it. It's what God allows people. If there's nothing in my life that's wrong and I'm a yielded Christian to the Lord and I put myself at his feet and he is my heavenly Father, then it's the will of God that's acceptable to me. No, we want him to make sense out of it and then we accept it. That's not how he works. God works like this. You're my child. Do what I say. Good parents don't explain everything to four-year-olds. Well, here's why I want you to pick up your toys, because it's neat, it's clean, and you're shaping your character for later on when you're a CEO of a major company. Just pick up the toys. You don't have to explain everything. Just do it. It works for teenagers too, by the way. But the truth is, sometimes he stands in the shadows and it just doesn't make sense. Seeing it simply means this: I don't see the problem, I see my God. And it's acceptable to me because I know that God is not going to do anything to me that's not best for me in my life. Somewhere down the road, this will all work out together for good. His good, but for good. And all I got to do is just love him and live in his purpose. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.